I'd like to give an item for prayer, which is Leslie pointed this out to me, effort that's being made in England to interest Christians in England to cooperate in an initiative in evangelism, seeing the godless condition we see in America. The contrast is perhaps even more marked in England in these last days. I'd just like to read this one paragraph. I think this is from Tom Houston, who is a very good friend of mine. He was pastor of the Baptist Church in Nairobi, Kenya for some years, and he knew him very well. And this is the letter he writes. I think in retrospect, as he reviews the year, the highlight of the year may prove to be the assembly of nationwide initiative in evangelism at Nottingham University in September, for whose planning I was responsible, supported by a good committee and excellent staff. More than 900 people came from every county in England and from all the denominations with good representation of their leadership. It was a highly motivating event whose impact on evangelism will be felt for some time to come. You must pray to go into that program. The nationwide initiative in evangelism. I'm going to refer back to Romans chapter 1. I have the privilege of speaking on this last Lord's Day in the evening, and time got away from me, and I hardly touched the last item. The three subjects were, and this is Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I am debtor, and the second was verse 15, I am ready to preach the gospel, and the third was, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I hardly had time to touch on that. I'd like to emphasize that this morning and give an example, one of the examples of the power of the gospel in Zaire. I feel that these accounts of some who have come to know the Lord Jesus are dramatic, because the difference between darkness and light was so very evident in their cases that I can pass them on and we can be rejoicing together in what God has done. Notice this 16th verse. I might mention for some who have come in the course of the week that I was using this as an outline of our own personal history in connection with going out to serve the Lord, which I was telling that my grandfather was led to Christ through the faithful ministry of a black man in Aberdeen, Scotland, Dr. Christopher James Davis, and how as a family we had a sense of debtorship to the black people. Give them the gospel. And then I was telling how the Lord called me as a young man when I had ambition for a career in advertising and was studying those things that have to do with the graphic arts, idea to go into the advertising business, and how the Lord turned me around as a missionary was testifying at the Bible Institute of Los Angeles, where I was attending evening classes and working during the day in a commercial art and engraving studio, which I, at 18, was the production manager. And how the Lord that night spoke to me, as the missionary spoke to Jeremiah 18, about the potter and the clay, emphasizing our need to put our lives into the hands of the Lord as clay in the hands of a potter to be molded and made according to his will. And this was the changing time in my life, and I told how as a family we went out to Africa in 1929 to serve the Lord there. And the third of these three phrases, I am debtor, I am ready to preach the gospel, the Lord led me to understand that night in Los Angeles, is verse 16, which is the purpose of it all. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So you know there are all sorts of kinds of power. I remember when we first out there in Africa ventured out to have electricity in our home. We had one of these wind chargers. And we put a propeller up in the wind, and as the wind blew, it charged the battery. So that we had every night, we had electricity in our home from this battery because of the power. Of course, we needed a charger. We needed the propeller in order to get the power and utilize the power. And some of you may know we have struggled for some years now to get some sort of power from Yamkundi, the mission station in northeastern Zaire. And the purpose of that is that we've been buying diesel fuel at great cost to provide electricity for Yamkundi, for our homes and for the hospital and for the various school buildings and so on. And it's only now that we have realized the advantage of the electrical power from a hydroelectric plant, from the gold mines that are not too far from Yamkundi. We've had to build a power line from Yamkundi for 18 miles. And we had to get metal towers, three-legged metal towers to lift the wire into the air, carry the current from this point of contact. Actually, the hydroelectric plant is farther along, but to get the power from a point where we could make a contact with them is about 18 miles. And this whole project has taken us about 8 years to accomplish. We're happy to say that from the 1st of August last year, we've had electricity in any quantity we want at the Yamkundi since the 24 hours a day. And the cost is exactly 1/30 of what we were paying when we were generating our own power with the Caterpillar engine and the General Electric generator, giving us 35 kilowatts of power. So that our presses and the hospital and the homes all using electric power that just comes from the water. Tonight I'll be showing a picture of this river going down, not actually the water power project, but nevertheless the Shari River. Power utilized. So there it is, a turbine in the water, utilizing that water power and giving us electricity at Yamkundi for their own gold mines as they carry on their work. Power. I remember too, one time I was asked to go and kill an elephant that was destroying a field of corn just around the side of the hill at Yamkundi. I went over there early in the morning with a gun, sat waiting in the door of the huts there, waiting for the elephants to leave. Actually, there was only one elephant that morning. I could hear him smashing the corn stalks as he was eating some and just walking and trampling on the others. And as the sun was coming up, I was getting ready to go and take a shot and went off into a forest, a little forest that was not far away, the finger of a larger forest. And I couldn't shoot him. He went off into the forest. And then, rather foolishly, I followed after him. I had an African who was carrying the gun, so that when the time came to shoot, my hand wouldn't be trembling, but I would be able to get a good shot. We often do that. He went in, followed him in, and had no difficulty knowing where he went, because he just left a swath of open country, wherever he went. And as I was waiting and getting ready, and the gun was still in the hands of the gun bearer, suddenly he rose up with great furor and came in my direction. Fortunately, their eyes are not very good. He didn't see me. He sensed I was there, and he passed by very close on the side. Well, the gun bearer was so excited, he threw the gun up in the air and came down muzzle first, and he had some time feeding the mud out of the gun. But he went and followed it, and when he went following the elephant where he'd gone, it had gone into another piece of forest a little farther along. And in going down, had touched a tree, leaned against the tree. It was a large tree, and had just broken it off. And I thought, oh, my, all that power going to waste, and we could only utilize that power. Well, I got the elephant, and of course, the people were delighted. They had a lot of meat for several days. And they ate everything, and it was very much enjoyed. But some years later, I visited a farm in the northern part of Zaire called Gangaranabodio, where the Belgians were training young elephants. And I saw 75 elephants in trade. They could get them when they're young and train them in all sorts of garden work. They were pulling plows and pulling carts for this and that and doing things that required a lot of strength.
Power.
Well, this power we have here, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. But even as to get the water power, we need a turbine, or wind power, we need the propeller. It has to be that initial thing that gives us the means of availing ourselves of available power. And for salvation, God's power is the gospel. And as we give the gospel in a miraculous way, lives are changed. Those who are walking in darkness see the light of life. The Lord said, if any man follow, I am the light of the world. If any man follow me, he shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What a joy has been to see so many out there in Africa turning from darkness to light. I think of that verse I often quote of Paul when he was giving his account to King Agrippa. He said, as he had seen the Lord on the road to Damascus, the Lord said, I send thee to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God. They might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And he said, whereupon, O King, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but right away preaching the gospel. And so it's been wonderful out in Africa to preach the gospel and see what God is doing. One day I was walking along in an African village, and I saw a boy sitting in the door of his hut. And he was pinning an arrow. He was a knife in his hand. He was trimming an arrow. And I like to get people talking on almost any subject so we can get to the gospel eventually. And so I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm pinning my arrow. And I said, let me see it. And he gave it to me, and I looked at it. And in order to get him to talk, I said, it doesn't look to me that it's very straight. Is this a good arrow? And he was quite angry. He jumped to his feet and he said, don't you say my arrow is a bad arrow. It's a good arrow. I killed an antelope buck with that last week, and the whole village had meat. And you're calling my arrow a bad arrow. I know it's a good arrow. It worked. And that's the way I came about the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. But that which is, if you like, the turbine or the propeller, that which is the means of availing ourselves of the power of the gospel, is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Because it's God's power for salvation to everyone that believes. And that's why we urge men and women to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved. I want to tell you this morning about a man by the name of Okalufu. I'm expected to remember the name. Okalufu. I went out to a place in the tribe. It's the same tribe of which the man I spoke of yesterday, Marcel Chimureti, had gone. But this village had not ever had the visit of a missionary. And they heard that as we went and preached and gave the word, that sooner or later they built a little building, and those who had believed the gospel were in this building to study the word of God. And so they, in anticipation of my visit, they built a little chapel. Very, very simple, of course. But they built this chapel, and when I went to the village, there they were sitting there. They heard I was coming, and the first time I'd ever been there, first time any white man, as far as I know, any missionary certainly had ever been there. And they were sitting around this little chapel that they built. And they were smoking their pipes and waiting for me to come and tell them the gospel. You know, we always ask as we're doing visitation work, safari work out there, Lord, lead us to hearts prepared by the Holy Spirit of God. And this was certainly the case, because I preached the word. And one man who trusted the Lord in the course of the several days I was there was Okalufu. An elderly man, a poor little looking man, and yet his heart was touched. He just lifted his heart to the Lord and very evidently trusted Christ as his Savior. And then a day or two later, as I still was in the village giving a little follow-up instruction from the scriptures, He came to me and he said, I'm so happy that God has forgiven my sins. But he says, you know, I'd like the government to forgive my sins too. Because the Lord has forgiven my sins, I know. Isn't it right that he's forgiving my sins? I said, well, certainly you forgive your sins that you confess to him because of the efficacy of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he said, you don't know, but he said, I'm a muñota. And that's a word that gives terror to the hearts of many people because there is a leopard club out there, a leopard society out there, known as the bañota. Bañota. And the singular would be a muñota, muñota. A man who is a muñota is a cannibal who is one member of this leopard society in which the members wear leopard skins on their bodies. And they creep into a village in the evening when people are sitting around their campfires. And in their hands, they have an instrument, a wooden handle. And on the end of the handle, there are pieces of metal that are shaped to simulate leopard's claws. And they creep in, a number of them together with their leopard skins on their bodies, creep into this village and select a victim and go to this innocent person, an older person, usually, and plunge this into this person's neck and then carry the person off, the body off, for cannibalistic purposes. This was quite a while ago, you know, although it does sometimes break out from time to time. At the time I met this man, the Belgians were hanging anyone who's convicted of being a muñota. And here he is saying to me, I'm a muñota. From one sense, I was just rejoicing the Lord has saved a cannibal. Praise God for that. But then you went on to say, I know the Lord has forgiven me. I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. God has forgiven me. But I have sinned against the government. I think the government should forgive me too. He said, I think I'm going to go and ask the government to forgive me for being a muñota. I'm not a muñota anymore. I'll never be a muñota again. What do you think I should do? Well, I had a problem answering that. He finally decided that he would go. And so, I wasn't there then. I'd gone back to my village, mission station. He went to the government official, 3 days' walk, and he arrived at Irumo, and where the government official was, and he came to the soldiers who were standing there in front of the office and said, I want to see the administrator. I have something to tell him. He said, you want to talk to him yourself? Yes, I want to talk to him. Well, he said, you sit down under the tree and they'll tell you when you can come. So he sat under the tree all morning and they didn't call it. And at noontime, the administrator came out and they all stood at attention and off he went to have his lunch. And then Kalufu was something disturbed. He said, I asked you to let me talk to him. I want to talk to him. Well, don't worry, he'll be back at 2 o'clock. You can talk to him at 2 o'clock. And so he sat under the tree some more. And at 2 o'clock, the administrator came back and the soldiers were at attention and the bugles were sounded again and all the formality of a military type of administration, and he went into the house. And again, Kalufu wanted to get in. Finally, they said, well, all right, we'll go and tell him. And they went and said, there's an old man out here who's been waiting since morning, wants to see you. What did you want to do? Well, he said he wants to tell you privately. Tell him to come in. He came in and stood in front of the administrator, told him, he said, I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I might say the administrator was Catholic and very definitely under the control of the priest of the area. And he was listening to the story as this simple man was telling how he had found peace for his heart through trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, I've been a bad man. He said, I have been a muñota. And I said, what? Yes, I've been a muñota, a cannibal. Yes. But God has forgiven me my sin, and I'm coming and asking you to forgive me, the Belgian government, to forgive me for my sin. He said, I don't know the word. Where's your leopard skin? Where's the claw that you use to kill people in your cannibalistic raids on villages? We said, that's at home. Go and get it and I'll believe you. Give up. And so he turned and off he went the street, days back into his home and got his leopard skin and his claw and came back. All the way to the administrator. And when he arrived back, the soldiers didn't tell him to sit under a table. They immediately ushered him in. They'd heard the story, and they knew he was a muñota. And they all afraid of the Ranyota. Well, he went to the administrator, and the administrator said, "Old man, you're back again?" "Yes, I'm back again. I'm asking you to forgive me. God has forgiven me. I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ." He couldn't avoid giving a testimony every time he spoke, according to the way the story is told to me. And the man said, "Well, is this leprosy?" "Yes, you look at this leprosy, old leprosy." I think the administrator thought, "Well, this would be a nice curio for me to take back to Belgium." That's my own thing. At any rate, he looked at the man, he couldn't believe, and here's a man confessing to something that was known to be punishable by hanging. "Now where's the claw?" "Where's the claw?" He looks at these two things and he said, "Well, why are you telling me this? Don't you know I can have you hanged for this? You can die for this?" "Yes, Bona, I know that. But God has forgiven, and I want the government to forgive me for it." Well, the man thought some time, and maybe he thought, "Well, I'll take these curios home." Anyway, he said, "You've been a very bad man, and I'm going to put you in prison because you've been such a bad man. 3 months in prison." And he just marked the thing for disorderly conduct or something like that, and gave him a soldier a notice and said, "Take this man to prison for 3 months." And he said, "After 3 months, will you forgive me?" "Go to prison." "Yes, you will forgive." And so he went to prison. Well, one of the joys in the story is that when he got down there to prison, and he knew that 3 months more he was going to be free, forgiven by the government, he just opened his mouth and told people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Day after day, he was telling about salvation and peace through Christ. Oh, how we praise God for how he works in the hearts of poor people like this when they know the Lord Jesus Christ. And one after another, individuals wanted to know more about the Lord, and some professed Christ to trust Christ as Savior. And then the priest in the area heard about it. And so he went to the administrator and he said, "What is this I hear about you having put a Protestant evangelist into the prison? He's converting the whole prison. Get him out of there! Get him out of there!" And of course the administrator was fearful about this. And so he said, "Oh yes, I'll let him go. I'll get him out right away. Don't leave him there. He's going to turn the whole prison into Protestants." Quoting the priest. And then, "Yes, I'll take this. Leave it in my hands. I'll take care of it right away." Well, then the administrator sent a soldier down and said, "Tell Okalufu, come up here. And bring any things he has because I'm going to let him go." And so they brought Okalufu up to the man, and he came up wondering why he was bringing his things. And the man said, "Okay, Okalufu, you can go home now. But one, I've only done 6 weeks of the 3 months you said." "Never mind, I'm going to let you go." He said, "Will you forgive me then and let me go?" "Yes, you can go. Yes, you can be forgiven. Wait, I'll sign it. It's all free. There's your paper. You can go home now." Well, what a joy it was to the old man's heart. He thanked the man, Santi Buena. He thanked him very much for what he had done in forgiving him and letting him go. And he went back to his village. Well, I knew Okalufu for the following years while he still lived. He was there in his village, a humble believer, one who knew the Lord Jesus and rejoiced in his salvation. And so when we say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it's the power of God unto salvation," I'm thinking of many, many out there whose salvation was remarkable in that they were turned from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and having forgiveness of sin. But many of them became active witnesses for Christ in the land. I wonder if in our own lives, we who have known the Lord Jesus, probably ought to have known the Lord Jesus for many years, if we are as active telling others the Lord Jesus. This impressed me as we travel around and as we go to gas stations and as we meet people here and there, that we are perhaps definitely the ones the Lord is counting on to give the message. And we try to bring it in, a little word of testimony here and there. And don't despise the idea of passing on the crack, because I could give you stories of some who have trusted the Lord when they found a tract and they were reading in their village back at home, reading it, and they found the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're speaking about the need in England for missionaries and the Christians banding together in the evangelical initiative for the country of England, how much, perhaps even more, we can say, are we here in America and in Canada? The need for active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ as individuals. We may know something about this power in the lives of others, those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know of a greater thing on earth than to have someone who has been living in sin and far from God, who knows the power of the gospel in his life, has found salvation, to come and wring your hand and thank you that you brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have in that first chapter of John, you know, how Andrew and Philip rather than Andrew, how they brought the friends to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we just answered that in a moment there, right, in closing the remarks of that committee. First of all, we have the disciples, and then Andrew gets Simon Peter. He finds his own brother. Simon said to him, we had found the Messiah, and he brought him to Jesus, and laid it down, and had Philip, and bringing his hand in that final, as you are, this is it, individual, the best means of communicating the gospel, person to person, and it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who is saved. Our gracious Father, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We felt its mighty power in our own lives. As we've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as we've come to enjoy Him in daily fellowship, as we put our lives in His control day by day, Thy Holy Spirit will use our witness. Thank you, Lord, for the witness here at Park of the Palms. We come from many places and we'll be going back to many places. Give us, Lord, that we may go to plant the seed of the word in those areas where we are, have an effective testimony, each one of us, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that which we are offering in the energy of the Holy Spirit of God is not ours, but it's this wonderful thing, the gospel of God's redeeming grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for being kind together as we praise you for that faith. And keep thy blessings this day, and by Lord Jesus.